Please be seated. Well, tonight, what I wanted to share with all of you good people is that the Lord taught me a lesson. And I want to share this testimony with you because I believe it has great value to our day and our time, and certainly the situation and the difficulties that we face, even now in the restoration. How many of you here knew Chuck Kuiper by any chance? Chuck Kuiper? Oh, Aaron, you knew Chuck Kuiper. Very good. Well, Chuck Kuiper was kind of a mentor to me, in a way. And I really looked up to him. He's gone now. Passed away a number of years ago. But the Sunday after we finished up our reunion, we were preparing, we were coming out to do our service here. And typically the first Sunday of every quarter, we do a prayer and testimony service and a sacrament service. And I really wasn't giving too much thought to what I might share or what might be said. I was up front here, I was going to do the prayers. But as I was coming down these stairs here, and I was looking out the door, as sure as the sun was shining, I tell you today, I saw Chuck Kuiper walking in. And I saw his truck parked out there in the parking lot in the same place where he would always park it. And I was so excited to see him. I was genuinely excited to see him. And I ran up to this door. But when I got there and I grabbed a hold of the hinge to open it, he wasn't there. And in the place of his truck was actually his daughter's truck. Because his daughter has recently started coming back and being active in the church again, which we're very excited about. And that moved me. That experience moved me. It was a revelatory experience for me. And for those of you who were here, knew that it brought me to tears. And I knew that I had to share that experience with the congregation. And I could hardly get it out because I was just overwhelmed with such great joy. That really meant a lot to me. And so why is this relevant to us today? I mean, certainly that's a personal experience for me. It's a personal testimony for me. Something that I needed to learn. But what's the relevancy of this for all of us today? Well, you see, Chuck and I didn't always get along. We didn't always see eye to eye on every piece of doctrine or every scripture. But at the end of the day, we were still friends. And you know what? We put more value on that relationship than we did in our being right. And at the end of the day, we always worked for the good of our congregation. And you know, funny enough, learned a lot from that man. And I'm thankful for that. And really, I came to the point where I can consider him a faithful friend. You know, I think back about a lot of the events that took place and certainly many of the things that happened at his own hand. You know, Kirtland was two votes away from becoming remnant. I don't know if any of you were here that were aware of that. There was a business meeting, and he was the pastor at the time. And he was very pro-remnant, and we were very much against remnant. And that was one of the sticking points that we had in our relationship. And when we had that business meeting, it was a very close business meeting, and it was a very difficult thing that happened that day. A lot of hurt feelings happened that day. But you know what? Chuck didn't leave. He came back. And I'm glad he did. Because I benefited from his ministry, and I benefited from the relationship that I was able to have with him. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us today? Well, here's the thing, is that I'm sure at some point, if we know each other for long enough, we're going to find something to disagree on. It's just inevitable, right? At some point, we will eventually disagree. It's an inevitability. We're different people. We see things different ways. We understand things differently. At some point, we're going to disagree. But what keeps us together? What holds us together as friends? What holds us together in the bonds of brotherly kindness and fellowship and all of those things that we hold most dear, that we cherish as restorationists? And at the end of the day, that needs to be the focus. You know, it's very interesting because I think that a lot of times we get stuck on absolutes. And we think so many times that that unless we agree on every single point of doctrine, we can't be one, that we can't be unified. That somehow that we've got to agree on every little thing, otherwise we can't be together, and then somehow we have to be apart because of that. But you know, we're taught, and in fact, this was counsel that was actually given to the priesthood through Joseph Smith III, and this comes from section 122, from verse 16a. And now I say unto mine elder, you mine elders, apostles and high priests of my church, continue ye in the ministry unto which you have been called. And if ye cannot fully agree on all the points of the law, be patient and be not contentious. So far as you can agree, work without heat, confusion, or malice. The lesson that I learned from that experience was that the relationships that we have need to be more important than being right. They need to be more important than simply having our own way. Because at the end of the day, this is a work of faith. And what did we just say what a work of faith was? It's not a perfect knowledge, is it? It's not a perfect knowledge. So what that means is that we have to allow each other the latitude to be able to experiment upon our faith. And so what did Alma say about this, right? So if we go back to chapter 16, and Alma continues on in verse 149. Now, as I said concerning faith, that it was not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words. Ye cannot know of their surety at first unto perfection, any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words. Now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if ye give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, ye do not cast it out. By your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul. Yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. Now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea. Nevertheless, it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, then ye must needs say that the seed is good. For behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith. For ye will say, I know that this is a good seed. For behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, ye are sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good. Therefore, it is cast away. And now, behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. And now behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. Gentlemen, we are experiencing probably the largest faith experiment that has been taking place maybe since the Reformation. This is our faith experiment. This is what we're doing. This is what it's all about. This is why we're here. And how do you put that in quantifiable terms? What does that look like in practical terms? You're looking at it right now. This is it. You're seeing it. You're seeing it in our restoration branches. You're seeing it in our priesthood meetings. You're seeing it in the prayer meetings. You're seeing it all over the place. That is the practical application of us as people experimenting upon our faith, with our faith, seeking out God's will. Because we want something other than ourselves. Because we know that the carnal man is evil. We look out into the world. And we have every example possible to the imagination of men as to the reason why mankind is not the moral authority. And we can see that. And so we seek something else. We seek something greater. We seek something that is transcendent. And that is the experiment. And because faith is not a perfect knowledge, we're going to make some mistakes along the way. We're going to trip up sometimes. And you know what? It's not for us to be critical. It's for us to lend a helping hand and help one another to grow. Because nobody here is perfect. In the sense, I would think you'd be translated. I mean, if you were that perfect, you probably wouldn't be here right now, right? You'd be somewhere else. You see, I want to go back to the words of Earl Curry because I draw a lot of strength from that. And certainly being here in Kirtland, Earl Curry was from Kirtland, and so certainly there's a lot of history there. And so this is the origins of where these words even came from. And I do believe that Earl Curry's message was prophetic and that it was a revelation. And if you go back through and you read the endowment, you can very much see, we now have the benefit of history, that we can look back that many of his words match up to historical events, and we can see that. But the one question that I want to focus on tonight for us is question number 4. And this is what he asked the Lord when he went to pray in the temple. He said, must the people and ministry of the church pass through a time of very great trial or calamity or judgment before the day of judgment? What was the answer to that? Yes. Yeah, it was yes. Very, very simply, yes. And I would like to propose to you all that we are in that day of trial and tribulation right now. When you look at the situation that the church is in and everything that has been happening, this is the dark day. This is the dark time. This is the trial of our faith. This is the trial of our faith. But what was the promise that he gave to us? He gave us the answer to getting through this dark and terrible time. It was to become an endowed people. It was to receive the endowment, to receive spiritual power, that transcendent power, so that we can solve the problems of our day. You know, it's interesting, and I wanted to bring this out and refer back to our dear brother Richard's message from 2 years ago, where he talks about the barriers. And I thought that this was interesting. I went right back and was kind of rereading this, and I was sort of thinking about these things. This came to my mind. And number 2 there, he says, be willing to remove all barriers and hindrances to the achievement of Zion. You must become one. And I really focused on those 2 sentences, and I got to thinking, well, he didn't tell us what those barriers would be, nor did he tell us how to solve to break them down. He left that up to us to figure out. That's up to our faith. That's our stewardship to figure it out. That's up to us to figure out. The Lord's already given us all that we need to know. And this is the trial of our faith. This is the test of our faith. I believe, and I don't think that I'm just some hopeless romantic in thinking that we can't actually solve the problems of our day. You know what? Here's my philosophy on this. There's 2 ways you can think about it. We could say, oh, we're in such a horrible state. This is so bad. I'm so sad. I'm going to go cry in a corner somewhere. And then you could just be depressed and you could just give up on everything, right? Or what's the other option? What's the other thing that you could do? You could stand up and say, Lord, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? So you have a couple of options, right? I'm assuming that you do want to have, that you look to do something about all this. That you believe at some level that the Lord has not ceased working in our day, and in fact that he does have something for every one of you to do. And the reason why I believe that is because guess what? You're alive right now. You're not alive back in the early church. You're not alive in ancient times. You're not alive at some other point in the history of humanity. You are alive today. This is our day. This is our time. And we need to own it. For better or for worse, we need to own it. We need to step up and say, this is the trial of our faith, and we own that. And we're going to take it to the Lord, and we're going to act on that. This is it. We want to solve these problems. We want to put an end to this strife. We want to put an end to this dark and terrible day. We want to be an endowed people. We want to receive the Spirit with such manifestation and such power that we are able to put to rest all other things. And you know, Earl Curry very much understood this. And I want to read these few sentences to you where the Lord answered his question, right? So he says, yes, for there must come such a time and all must pass through it. The finest blessings, the most gracious bestowal of more than Pentecostal power cannot come to men whose trust is in worldly things. So what we're looking at here is that we're not looking at just mere Pentecostal power, and we use that as a benchmark. We always look back to the day of Pentecost, and we think that's a high point in terms of our Christian faith and our Christian belief because of all the miracles that were done there. But he's saying it's going to be greater than Pentecostal power. It's going to be greater than Pentecostal blessings. Those are the things that await us. Those are the gifts that await us. Gentlemen, I am convinced that we have enough intelligence in this room. We have enough education in this room. We have enough spiritual mindedness in this room that if we would just reach out with faith and take that leap of faith and put our hand in the Lord's hand, that we could receive that message, that we could receive maybe just even a portion of that endowment to the point where we can start solving the problems of our day. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. The only thing that we lack is a desire. That is the only thing that we lack. How much do we want it? How much do we desire it? That is the only thing that we lack. I want to share a short message with you that was given to our branch here. And while I'm reading this, you might be able to guess who it was that gave this to me. This message is very special to me because our branch has been through a lot. We've suffered a lot. You know, and I'm sure many of you have suffered as well. Many of your branches have suffered too. And so when this individual came to me and gave me these words, it meant the world to me. At the time when I received this, I was feeling pretty down. I was pretty depressed. I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? What are we doing? And as the good Lord would have it, I received this message here. And this is what it says. To my people of the Kirtland branch and saints of Ohio, I am pleased with your faithfulness. I have spoken to you in times past, and so I speak to you now. I, the Lord God, am pleased with your diligence. You have come through times of trials. You have come through times of doubts. You are my people who have kept this sacred place within the presence of the church. I am pleased with your sacrifice. You have helped make it possible for me to call my priesthood from around the world to gather to this place, this sacred place, to receive my word and hear my voice. And because of this, my word has been sent into all the world. Fear not. Doubt not. I know what you face in life. I desire to bless you and will bless you. Continue in this work because there is much more to come. You are my sons and daughters. Know that I love you and I come for you. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Anybody want to take a guess who that came from? Richard Neal. My good brother Richard Neal, written by his own hand, gave this to me. Thank you, brother. You've shared testimony of the hope that is in you. That is what the Lord has asked of us to do, and that is what you have done tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen to that. My hope now is that as we have shared one with another, they were now ready to take that leap of faith across the river and enter into the promised land to receive the blessings that await us. That we will go hand in hand with the strength of the Lord, and that we might be able to receive the things that we desire. If it be the Lord's will, then we will. But at least we did all that we could that we might be able to receive. May the name of our Lord God, Jehovah, be praised this day. Amen.